here we go. Welcome to Drop the Gloves podcast here at the Chicago Blackhawks convention. The legend Stu Grimson coming in to talk to me for a little bit. Grimmer, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming out.
Good to see you. It's my pleasure,
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, good to have you. Grimmer, obviously the legend for the Hawks. I was doing some research, watching some fights you had back in the day. I saw some good ones with Marty McSorley and everybody. I was doing a little more research on you. What was your toughest fight you think you had ever?
Oh, my gosh. That's actually an easy question to answer. When I was breaking into the game, I was a member of the Calgary Flames organization.
Yep.
And one of the great rivalries of the NHL, and it even stands up today, Edmonton versus Calgary.
Obviously.
Dave Brown was the meanest, baddest man on the planet. And he was the heavyweight champion of the NHL playing for the Edmonton Oilers back then. And I'll tell you what, so I'm trying to cut my teeth. I'm trying to kind of break into the business.
So how old are you
at this time? I'm in my early 20s, 23 or 4 or so.
You're trying to make a name for yourself.
Trying to make a name for myself. But I recognized the path to the NHL for me went right through Dave Brown Street. And so I got called up for the front end of a home-and-home series with the Edmonton Oilers as a member of the Calgary Flames. I got called up. It's kind of early in my NHL career. And, you know, I mean, I'm watching Dave Brown loop over to my side of the center red line in this game. So we played Sunday night in Edmonton.
Okay.
And then the back end of the home and home comes into Calgary two nights later on Tuesday. So I'm looking at Brownie going, this guy just, I don't want any part of this, but I recognize I've got to do this. So first shift of the game that night. First shift that he and I are out there, we're locked up shoulder to shoulder with one another, and I kind of gave him a shot off the draw, step back, three left hands, cut the air above my head.
No,
I'm like,
way.
I'm able to stay out of the way. I got a hold of that left hand, heavy left
town.
Hand, and I clocked him twice, laid him out right there.
And that is your welcome to the NHL moment.
That's my welcome to the NHL moment. That's the realization, like, hey, maybe I got
you
the stuff.
You beat the shit out of the toughest guy in the league.
Maybe I got the stuff to stay here.
Right out of the gate. And that builds confidence, because I know coming into the league, you played in the A?
No, the IHL when I was breaking in. Yeah, no, I never played any in the AHL, but I played in the IHL for 3 years.
That's insane. So I know when I came into the show, my first fight was versus Peros. And you're terrified going into it. And like the night before, you know it's going to happen, especially being called up.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to make
right.
a good first impression. If you lose that fight, who knows what happens, right? You're
exactly
sent down.
Right.
There's
exactly
so much pressure
right.
riding on that one fight. But hey, now you're here.
Yeah.
So I was looking at your hockeyfights.com doing some research.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at how many fights you actually were in. Like,
there's a lot of them.
And
here's the interesting part about that. John, it's changed so much
exactly.
since
I
today.
I thought the same thing, because when I, the most fights I had in a year was 11.
Yeah.
And that was like, for me, 11 was, wow, you fought a lot. Then you look back 10, 15 years, and that was like a good month for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what kind of, because I know if I fought twice in a week, my hands were throbbing. I had, you know, my shoulder was a little sore.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of injuries would you get just being a fighter? Like,
well, you know, a split lip. I mean, you know, somebody cuts you above the eye, you lose a tooth, you break a nose or something like that. Didn't happen to me all that often. I might have given better than I got at the end of the day. But you're exactly right. And I remember this specifically. You know, fighting once takes a lot out of you.
Yes.
Fighting on consecutive games or fighting twice in the same game, that takes, it's a physical toll, never mind the emotional toll. I remember this one time. Rocky Thompson got called up to the Calgary Flames, and I knew this guy's wanting to prove his mettle. He's wanting to, you know, prove that he can survive and be a contributor at the NHL level. So I had fought twice in the previous two games. I was a member of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks back then, and I knew Rocky. Like, the third game, after I had fought twice before, Rocky got called up, and I'm going, this kid's going to want to
exactly,
go me.
Yep.
The last thing I want to do, I mean, fight in three consecutive games. I was just like, so, you know, he ended up kind of getting the better of me early on in this fight, and we had a pretty good go after that. But it was just a reminder to me, an example of the physical toll that doing that job takes on your body.
And especially being a vet, he's coming into that game and he's jacked up.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He is like,
absolutely. And I'm doing everything I can to avoid it.
And you don't want to fight. And you're like, okay, man, like, no. So in the actual fight, like, he's like just his adrenaline's going. You're trying just to get it over with, basically.
Yeah, get through it. Exactly right.
And that's the hard part. I always found with fighting, it was more of a relief once I got the fight over with.
Mm-hmm.
It was the day, the 2 days before. Right. And I guess it was worse in my era because I would sit there and watch videos of guys.
Right.
Like I'd go, okay, there's Steve McIntyre. Here comes George Parros. Here comes, you know, Brian McGrattan or Colt Knorr.
Right.
And you would just, like, it would mind fuck you. You'd just go over it over and over.
Yeah.
Like, did you know going in, like, okay, I'm playing Edmonton or Chicago or Detroit. Like, I got to fight Probert or Doma. Would you circle those games or would just kind of... Like, would you stress out about it? How would you deal with that kind of...
I would. I was no different than you, really. And here's the thing. Like, this is the lesson I look back, and I remember that I wish I had the ability to kind of do it differently during my career. It's so easy to overinvest in the preparation for that part of the game. For you and I, you know, we're playing 4 to 6 to maybe 8 minutes a night. So there's a good bit of ice hockey that takes place apart from that actual fight you're involved in.
Exactly.
But we way overinvest in that 30 seconds of an altercation with another guy, and it comes at the expense of being able to play and play effectively. I marvel at guys like Proby, who were, you know, and today maybe Ryan Reeves is a good example, or Tom Wilson is a good example. But these guys, they walk that tightrope, and they're better equipped to kind of to manage the balance of being prepared to get into a fight if you need to do that, but being prepared to play more importantly.
Exactly.
I overinvested in the other part, and I think it came at the expense of being able to
contribute
in other ways.
That's, I think people have said, like, you have to fight, you have to win, you have to fight, you have to win.
Yeah.
And so you focus so much on that, and it affects everything else. Because I know I would want to get the fight over with as quick as possible so
I
could focus on the game.
I was the same way.
Because if I didn't fight in the first or second shift, I would literally be shaking on the bench, like, okay, I need to get this. Like,
it's
you have
this
so much
massive
adrenaline.
Cathartic release.
Yes.
Like, you know, I know the game requires this. I know my opponent requires this. Let's do it early.
I know.
Get it out of the way so I can just focus on playing.
There is so much just, the real, once you, even if you lost the fight, you're sitting in the box, you're like, okay, good, finally. Like, it's out of my system. I can go ahead and play the game.
Exactly right.
I don't know. Those guys, I wonder if Proby, especially him, because he did put up some great points. He made a few All-Star games. Like, he was such a good player.
Yeah.
Just to have the confidence to be like, okay, I know I can beat anybody up in this league.
Yeah.
And I can still play. I always worry about getting knocked out every time I fought.
I was the same way. I was the same way. I wanted to show well, and the thing that I was most, you know, that I was most responsible for. But, you know, there's an important balance there, and I didn't walk it very well. I overinvested in the physical part of it, without question.
Yeah. What do you think... the league, do you like the way they've gone with the fighting route as far as trying to phase out the one-dimensional guys like myself? I'll put myself in there, the 4 to 5 minute guys. You think that's helping the league? Or I know it's such a weird, like, everyone's
I like the game, but I like the game where it's at today. I really do. And for this reason, you know, I think the players today, given the rule changes, we get a chance to appreciate the really skilled guys, the guys that, you know, move the puck well, shoot the puck well, think the game well. I marvel at what those players are capable of doing, and I like it's an environment now where they can really demonstrate, you know, what they're capable of doing with the puck. The kids today, the guys that are playing the game today, there weren't many players that could do that back then. But it's like every team's got 4 or 5 of those guys today, and it's remarkable.
It drives me nuts, I know, because back in my day, I never practiced the toe drag going up. I never practiced the sauce pass.
No.
I didn't practice any of that stuff. I was drilled into me, tape the tape off the glass if it's not there.
Yeah,
and now
keep
these
it
kids
simple.
Are, now they're like, turn it back, you know, be creative, you know, take time and space. I'm like, I never, ever, ever learned that when I was a kid. Like, if I were to be playing hockey now and be 12, I would be such a better hockey player.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, and I think, too, this is a point I've made many times. I think the technology today has changed the way the game is played, too, because anybody that has an appetite or an interest in learning about what other skilled players are doing, you can jump on YouTube and watch, you know, reams of plays, replays of guys that are doing specific games. And you can, rather than taking an old VHS tape and trying to, you know, and replay a bunch of stuff that the skilled players are doing, it's just so readily available
to
you.
It's on the bench now.
And there's no better tool than video to teach a player how to play the game. So I think that's contributed too, and I think it's a part of why these kids are so skilled.
My last few years, they would literally have iPads on the bench where if you mess up, the coach would be like, okay, I think you did this there. And I'm like, no, I didn't know it. And he's like, yep, see, like, yeah, you did. You should have been there. You should have been there. So it is good. And going back to, like, watching stuff, I would, like, watch fighters. So if I were to fight you, I'd be like, okay, Stu likes to come in and, like, pop me with the left. And I would sit there and, like, do so much research. And it's crazy. But, yeah, it's amazing how skilled the kids are these days. Okay, away from hockey, what are you doing now?
John, I got a big head. I can wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of things.
Let's narrow it down.
I'm corporate counsel for a company called Van Meter Insurance back in Nashville.
Okay.
I'm a studio analyst for NHL Network.
Yes.
And I'm a real estate investor, and I'm business development for an IT infrastructure company called Mobility out of Newport Beach, California.
Wow.
So I do a lot of things.
You're a renaissance man.
I'm involved in a lot of things. I have a hard time saying no.
That's amazing.
So it's a lot of fun.
What do you do for fun these days when you're not doing all those jobs?
Real estate is my passion, honest with you. I really enjoy real estate. My wife Jennifer and I, we love to buy single family homes, fix them up, turn them around, or keep them and rent them. I've always had a real an appetite and interest for real estate. And it's a great way to kind of, you know, supplement the financial areas of your life. And we've really enjoyed that.
You should do an HGTV show.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Reaper's Repairs.
Reaper's Repairs.
Reaper's Repairs.
Is that job number five?
Where did that come from?
I need to get a cut of that somehow. That's insane.
Right.
So when you're not doing all those jobs, you and your wife, you're at home.
Yeah.
What's a typical off day?
Typical off day?
Yeah. You're not selling homes. You're not investing.
Yeah.
You're not working for the NHL. You're not.
We live in this great area of Nashville. It's East Nashville. It's just outside of downtown. We got a great little community neighborhood. So we'll be either hanging out in the backyard or riding bikes into town and enjoying the different restaurants, bars, and social outlets in East Nashville. We love doing that. And then there's probably a little bit of Netflix involved,
and then a couple of hours
at the end of the night. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like that. All right, so how long have you been retired for, out of the game?
Been out of the game since 2001 was my last game. December 2001 was the last game I played.
Did you have the transition from playing? Because I know a lot of guys struggle with that. Like, the first few years is tough. How was your transition from playing to not playing?
I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to do after I left the game. I had always enjoyed my role. I was a player representative to the union for most of my career. And I had kind of developed a real interest in that part of the game. So I knew that when I retired, I was going to finish off my undergrad. I had started my undergrad before I ever turned pro. But didn't finish it. I signed my first pro contract before I graduated. So I went back to school for a year, finished that, and then I earned a law degree shortly after that.
Wow.
All with an eye towards working for the union when I finished playing. So I worked for, you were probably a player during this period. I was in-house counsel for the PA for 2 years before I went back to Nashville and worked as a trial attorney.
Wow. And I think, especially tough guys, because our job is never secured.
Right.
Like, what was your longest contract?
I actually...
Don't even tell me you had a six-year contract.
I had a five-year deal.
Are you kidding me?
I had a five-year deal.
You know what I mean? You think you know a guy. Was that with the Hawks here?
I was with Detroit.
Okay.
And we had a long, deep run. We went into the Stanley Cup Finals, and I actually came up that summer. And I showed pretty well. I had a pretty good run with the Red Wings, so I got some interest. And New York Rangers tendered an offer sheet 5 years in length that Detroit ultimately matched. So I was locked down for five long years.
Well, then that just shits on my point, because I was going to say, being a fighter who's not, well, especially me, I always thought whatever year I was
year
in was
by
my last
year. 2 years at the most.
So you plan for post-hockey.
Right. Because
like myself, when I was done, I knew, okay, I was prepared for it. Other guys say are not prepared at all because they have those, like you, you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lucky
I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate. It was just kind of, The stars aligned at one moment in time, and the Rangers made this offer, and
that's great.
It was for really solid money for an exceptionally, and I was 30 years of age at the time, which was the really remarkable part. A 30-year-old enforcer, you know, you're kind of asking yourself the question at that point, if you're a manager, how much longer is this guy going to be around? But no, the Rangers did offer a 5-year deal that Detroit ultimately matched, and be honest with you, I had another two-year deal after that. I played another 3 years after that.
So you played 14 years?
14 years in the NHL, 17 years pro altogether.
That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you. And what do you
miss
the most?
Fooled them for a while, yeah, my friend. I fooled them for a while.
I fooled them for 10, 11, but not, yeah. What do you miss the most about hockey?
I miss the room.
Yeah.
I miss the room. I really do. Hockey players, I think because, and I'm sure this is true of most team sports, but I think hockey especially, because there's a physical component that's so taxing about it. You know, you cry, you sweat, you bleed, yeah, you do all these things together over a 9-month period. You really develop a close relationship with all the guys, and the camaraderie is really tight, and the barbs in the dressing room are pretty sharp, and I miss that most of all.
Which one of your teammates do you feel like was your the best teammate you had? I know when I played, I always I bounced around. I feel like Joe Thornton was my best teammate, Brent Burns. But which guys stand out for you? They were great guys.
There's lots of them. There's lots of them. Too many to number, but guys that I played with that I really I learned a lot from or enjoyed my experience. Ian LaPerriere was my centerman in L.A. when we were together, and I really enjoyed playing with Lappy. Luc Robitaille was a great teammate in Detroit as well. In L.A. Steve Yzerman was a great captain, one of the greats I've ever played with. He and I were drafted together, and we kind of came full circle when I landed with the Red Wings back at a later stage in my career. So a lot of great memories, a lot of great memories.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up soon. We're going to do some rapid questions here.
Okay.
Quick answers. Top of the head.
That's a challenge for some. That's a challenge for a lawyer. Lawyers don't think in conclusions.
You know,
but I'm going to oblige.
Long
I'm going to give you what
short
you
answers,
need.
Answers, do whatever
I'm
you want.
I'm going to give you what you need.
The favorite game you ever played in? Most.
Oh, we. Okay. This will sting for Blackhawks fans.
Okay.
But I was a member of the Detroit Red Wings. This is the 95 year I'm telling you about that I parlayed into a 5-year deal.
Okay.
But we closed out the Blackhawks when I was a member of the Red Wings in the Western Conference Final. I got the game tying goal in that game.
In Chicago or
in
Detroit?
In Chicago.
Oh, no.
I beat Eddie Belfour to tie the game. We ultimately went on to win the series and close out the series that night. That was a big
moment.
Night for me.
All right. Favorite fighting moment? Other than knocking Brownie out, your first one.
Yeah, that would go up there. Christoph Olowa was a lot of fun to fight.
Because
the guy, he couldn't speak much English. He had the thickest Polish accent. And every night I faced off against this guy, it's always, "Stu, my team must win this game. We fight now." Every time I fought Christoph Olowa, those were the words the man uttered.
And didn't you, that would terrify me.
Well, I got the better of him.
Were you
the
biggest guy? Because you're 6'6".
Yeah.
And I know when
I was
6'8".
There weren't many guys bigger than me.
Yeah,
there weren't many guys bigger than me.
Way ahead of the generation, because back then, what was the biggest guy?
Guys that were kind of the enforcer, heavyweight, they were kind of in a 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". There weren't many guys that were 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Not many at all.
Who would you like fighting better, the smaller guys or the big guys?
No, I like fighting guys my size.
Me too.
Yeah.
I hated fighting the short guys because they would just lash you. Just wear you out, wear you out. They're trying to just land one
Ty Domi was impossible to fight.
Right?
Yeah. He's always punching up at you. Nobody expects a guy that size to prevail against a guy my size.
It's a lose-lose.
And he had a head like a medicine ball. You could tee off on that head all day long.
It was like this table.
You could tee off on that head all day long, and you couldn't hurt him.
I know. I feel the same way. How many times did you fight him?
I'm not sure. Probably, I would say 3 or 4 max. Fought Proby about 14 times over the course of
every
career.
I wish I played back in your day because when I was
you
playing,
you would have been a hit.
It would have been so fun because now it's you beat up a few guys and then no one will fight you the rest of the season.
Right,
I'm always so scared to lose. And I've been knocked out a few times, but it's just sad. It's probably good the way it's gone, but fans loved a good dust up. All right, anyways, back to it. Favorite hockey movie?
Wow, Slapshot, Head and Shoulders Above the Field.
Good, Slapshot.
I don't think anything comes close.
No. Favorite athlete, non-hockey.
Non-hockey. Wow. I grew up a big fan of the Oakland Raiders, the L.A. Raiders. Marcus Allen was a big, big deal.
Really?
I don't think anybody remembers Marcus Allen, but he was a great athlete.
Oh, I do, yeah. Running back, right?
Oh, he was outstanding.
From Kamloops?
Kamloops, British Columbia.
And what are you doing being a Raiders fan?
I don't know. The Raiders were big when I was a kid. They really were.
John Madden was a coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
BC Lions?
We didn't follow CFL football all that much.
So do you drink?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite beer?
Oh,
I drink.
Little something, well, to excess. Can we say that here?
Yes.
Little something something by, who makes it? Is it Lagunitas?
Lagunitas?
Yeah, I think Lagunitas makes a little something something.
They're pretty good, yeah.
It's a good beer.
I like that one.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm an IPA guy.
Me too. You know what? I used to be.
Now what?
Well, now I don't know if I've gotten soft in my old age, but I used to drink IPAs all the time. Now I'm like lagers and very easy drinking beers. I don't know why.
How is an IPA a hard drinking beer?
Well, it's too hoppy.
Oh, wow. That makes me sound like a diehard. It makes me sound like I got a problem.
No, it makes you sound like
I'm a fan of a hard drinking beer.
You're a man. No, I used to love them. Like, I used to just do, if you like IPAs, all day IPA.
Yeah.
From, is that Shorts or is that, what's that?
Founders
All Day IPA.
Founders All Day IPA.
The best IPA you'll ever drink.
Bell's Two Hearted
is also right
really
up there.
Really solid as well.
So, Northern Michigan. That's a Northern Michigan beer.
It is. Who brews that?
That is Founders and then Bell's.
Yeah. Bell's is the name of the brewery.
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
but,
good.
Yeah, Founders Two Hearted. Try that one. It's so good.
Yeah.
I'll have two or three of those, but then I just like, it's too much for me. I'm sounding like a big puss now, but yeah. Then I switch to like Labatt Blue or something. Anyway, okay, do you fish?
I used to a lot. Okay. We used to have a lake place back in Western Canada. I guess it's Western Canada.
I like to fish a lot. So what's the favorite fish you like to catch?
Love to catch walleye, smallmouth bass. Used to be on Lake of the Woods, northwestern Ontario.
Know exactly where
Canada.
That is. Yes, my neighbor goes fishing all the time. All right, and when you were playing, did you get to? Would you get pumped up before the game on some music?
I was the music master. I was the room DJ.
You were the DJ.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that moment before the coach comes in and, you got to shut down the music after the coach comes in, it's The Who, Baba O'Reilly.
What's that?
Led
Who's
Zeppelin,
the
Immigrant Song. You never heard of The Who?
No.
Oh, Roger.
I'm teasing you. I'm shitting you.
Who's The Who?
All right, so The Who.
The Who, Baba O'Reilly, Led Zeppelin, the Immigrant Song. I had it all going on. Stones. Lots of Springsteen.
I played in
lots
the wrong
of Springsteen.
Generation.
It's all throwback stuff.
Oh my gosh! Now
stuff.
It's like
throwback stuff that none of these people understand.
I understand.
It's better than the shit they listen to now because it's like Gucci and.
I used to cover the Preds, and Eric Nystrom was the room DJ, and this dude would make mixed music.
Oh, no kidding. Like, he would actually DJ.
Oh, I would watch him on the plane. And he's got two little turntables.
No
he's
way.
Mixing the stuff. But it's all house music. The whole pregame ritual is house music.
The game's changed.
Which is kind of cool, but it's like, I don't know.
It's you're lucky you're not playing anymore. Because it's like that. Like, the young kids run it now, and it's all techno and R&B,
and I hate it. That's exactly right.
I can't stand it. Well, Stu, it was a pleasure, man.
My pleasure.
Thanks for stopping in. That was
ultimately
so good.
All mine.
Yes.
All mine.
Stu Grimson, everybody.
You're running a good podcast,
Thank
my friend.
You.
You're running a good podcast.
Oh.